Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
He's bad. He's beautiful. He's crazy. It's
Rich Eisen.
Let me ask you this question.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Are wide receivers becoming the new running backs? In the league, DK Metcalf has demanded a trade.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Throw deep, got DK open, touchdown!
Today's guests, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, 2025 NFL draft prospect, wide receiver Jimmy Horn Jr., comedian Nick Thune, and now... it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku Sports Channel, 12 to 3 Eastern every single day. Love being here. Love being on the Infinity Sports Network, 120 Rich Eisen Show radio affiliates coast to coast and growing. It's a family. It's a Sirius XM Channel 375 if you want to check us out every single day by listening to us via satellite. And then there's the way you could stream us for your ear gate, Odyssey.com, the Odyssey app. There's our podcasts. Later on today, Jim Jackson will be here for the Jim Jackson Show. Spike Lee is his guest today. And wow. That'll be in your ear gate and on the Rich Eisen Show YouTube channel that has over 905,000 subscribers and growing. 844-204-RICH is the number to dollar. Always love looking down and seeing phone lines already light up as soon as we're saying a syllable on this program. And Albert Breer's first up. There is a ton to talk about with the lead NFL reporter of Sports Illustrated and Amazon Prime Video's Thursday Night Football coverage. He's first up. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. What's up, man?
Fresh off the Rich Eisen Show milk carton. Ladies and gentlemen, the South Bay's... feeder of nuts to squirrels across South Bay. Mike Del Tufo's back.
Yes.
Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a one day.
Hey. It's a one day residency.
One day.
Good to see you, TJ. Good to see you, brother. How are you?
I'm good. Are you guys all right, man? Because it was looking kind of ominous driving to work today. Did you notice that?
I didn't drive behind the airport. What was going on behind the airport?
It was looking like something wicked this way comes.
Oh, really?
If you know what I'm saying.
I didn't see it. It's sunny and beautiful here in the studio. Good to see everybody here. Again, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a conversation with us. We're excited to chat with you. We'll have enough time to do that for sure.
Behind
comedian
report.
Nick Thune is in studio on hour number three. We haven't seen him in years. He threw out a first pitch at a Mariners game because we connected him with the Mariners. He's a diehard Seattle fan, which means he's freaking out that DK Metcalf wants out and Tyler Lockett gets basically released after 10 years. I'm sure he's freaking out about what's going on with the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, I'm sure.
And Jimmy Horn Jr., who's the lead son atop the Deion Sanders son draft board right now, as you know.
Jimmy number one.
That was a really fun moment at the Combine over the weekend. Jimmy Horn Jr. will be joining us in hour number two to talk about his draft process and things of that nature.
Rich, you have to ask him what Deion was mad at him about. Remember, Shador just said, oh, he was mad,
he's mad
Jimmy,
about something.
But he didn't say what. And Jimmy was like, yeah, I did something.
Okay.
Maybe find out what Jimmy did.
We will look under the hood. We will look under the hood. Listen, folks, salary cap maneuvering isn't, one would say, a very sexy subject matter. But it is crucial when things happen and things occur, and also when it's something of note, when we've been talking about a certain contract for years, and the news came across today that the Cleveland Browns have redone Deshaun Watson's contract once again. And what they did was convert X, Y, and Z to clear $36 million. But the key fact of this is, and Tom Pelissero tweeted this out, Tom's on tomorrow's program, the Browns have now paid out the vast majority of Deshaun Watson's five-year, $230 million fully guaranteed contract. All that's left is a minimum salary this season, which makes sense because he's not playing this season, out with an Achilles injury for all of 2025. And then his salary in 2026 is $46 million. That's all that's left. And as we know, $46 million for a starting quarterback in this league, kind of a bargain. It's on the low end of things, to the point where, you know, the opening offer reportedly from our old friend Jason Lockenfora from the Niners to Brock Purdy is $45 million. And that's seen as a low offer in this day and age. Certainly for somebody who's taken a team to the playoffs multiple times, somebody who has taken the team to a Super Bowl once and a Super Bowl overtime loss, I might add, that guy's being offered $45 million and Deshaun Watson would cost $46 million a year from now, but anything can happen between now and obviously the beginning of the 2026 season, certainly when the Browns have the second overall pick on the clock. And I am sure Browns fans might be sitting out there wondering, why are you bringing this up? Because there are certain stories in the NFL and transactions in the NFL that keep on echoing. There's still a ripple in the pond. Ask the Giants front office about that because of what Saquon Barkley did after leaving and what the Eagles have done, paying him after leaving the Giants in a manner that he felt commensurate to join the Eagles and run for 2,000 yards and be the offensive player of the year and now break the $20 million a year barrier at the running back spot. And every single time he does anything, it's like, what the hell are the Giants thinking? And the Giants have an opportunity this year to turn the page with a third overall pick and a free agent market. And the Giants, as I said earlier this week, how would it sound to you? They sign a veteran quarterback, and I understand Giants fans saw the Aaron Rodgers movie with the co-tenants in that building and really might not want to run it back, but what if you draft, say, Travis Hunter, and you add him to, you know, neighbors, and you maybe sign Davante Adams? Just throwing this stuff out there, sticking names off the wall. Now suddenly you're not terribly upset and the Giants can win this year and show that they've got some dynamic talents of their own. And you're hearing less and less about Saquon Barkley. That's their plan. Whether it's going to work or not, don't know.
Hearing less, they'll never hear less about Saquon.
I hear you. But in terms of the Deshaun Watson trade, now that he is not playing in 2025 and we're seeing the end of the tunnel here, where it's just most of the money that was fully guaranteed, that everyone was wondering, why are the Browns acquiring somebody with so much baggage and giving him the first fully guaranteed contract of its kind? And are they playing with fire? And now we're sitting here in this moment in time, and you look at this in perspective, and you take a look at what Deshaun Watson has done. By the end of next season, he will still have started 19 games, and he'll have missed 51. And he'll still have only 19 touchdowns with 12 interceptions, and he'll still have a passer rating of 80.7 as a Brown quarterback, and he'll still have only 3,365 yards. And that's what the Browns have damn near paid off a $230 million contract for.
Yikes.
And the question is, will this
fact, again, this reason why I'm bringing it up here is it just, you got to put it in perspective. Will this cause the Browns to say 2026, $46 million is not a bad number for a guy who used to be Deshaun Watson? And giving it one more tire kick to the point where they don't use the second overall pick on a rookie quarterback. As a matter of fact, they can actually take the guy who might have heard the plan that kicks the can down the road a little bit, which would make complete sense if you are not in on Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, and you are looking at who might be coming down the pike in next year's draft, and you do have Abdul Carter sitting there second overall potentially, or the ability to just flip some trade asset to the Titans to swap spots, and you do choose Abdul Carter, and you trade Myles Garrett, who wants no part of your organization anymore. And I understand you don't want to be that front office that trades away a future Hall of Famer who the fan base adores, or past tense, adored. And when you look at the draft compensation you gave up for Deshaun Watson and got of only this return on the field and have doled out damn near $200 million to him for all of that, for three firsts, one third, and two fourths, you know how you could get back two ones and another player and maybe a fourth or a third? Unless you go into this in the, you know, Dallas Mavericks way of looking at it. Sorry to
they just
hand out all the shrapnel here.
No,
but
reason.
No, I'm serious. I understand you don't want to be in the position of you traded away Myles Garrett, but Myles Garrett says, I want out, and he is officially no longer a volunteer. He is a hostage, to use the phrase of one of their colleagues in the AFC North. You can get back a couple of ones. You can get back another player. You can absolutely put this guy out for bids and have a remarkable bidding war and have future capital next year when Deshaun Watson can be your bridge quarterback for $46 million. That may be a plan. Now, listen, this contractual redoing was happening no matter what. We were going to have this news break no matter what. It just happens to be today. Okay? This was coming down the pike to the point where if Myles Garrett is talking to Jimmy Haslam, as Diana Rossini told Susie and Amy on What the Football, that he spoke to the owner. It's first I'd heard Jimmy Haslam's name in terms of a post-season confab. I thought it was just with the GM and the coach, but it might have been with the GM, the coach, and the owner. And Myles heard whatever the plan was, or that, hey, give us some time, we're formulating it. And whatever it was, he said, I want out. And then had a very orchestrated effort to get his side out when you pop something out there on your Instagram on Super Bowl week and then fly into the Super Bowl city. Then trade away Garrett. He doesn't want to be there. You can send him away where you see him only once every 4 years. Make your draft capital back. Figure out your quarterback spot for this year to get through it. And you might, listen, this is a team that won with Joe Flacco. This is a team that has a two-time coach of the year, can coach things up. You get yourself the right veteran quarterback, you can get through this year. You can get to Deshaun Watson and give that one more tire kick just to say, you know, in the same way that you're hearing in Atlanta, they're not getting rid of Kirk Cousins right now because they could use him as the backup to a rookie in Penix who has an injury history. And plus, you know, word on the street there in Indianapolis was Arthur Blank doesn't want to pay all this money to a guy that
not on the roster.
Two-thirds of a season.
Yeah. I get that.
You know, paying somebody $90 million for two-thirds of one season and you're now paying him to go play somewhere else? That's a bitter pill, man. And I don't know if the Haslams are like, we're paying $200 million. Put that board out one more time. And again, this is not the low-hanging fruit where you're just trying to, you know, point out the negative. This is a factor in what the Browns might be thinking now and for next year. Can you choose Cam Ward second overall if you love him and just say, okay, Deshaun, you're $46 million, and you'll be a tradable commodity at that price? You could do that. I'm just saying that if you love Abdul Carter and he's the real friggin' ding and you can get him and you're trading away Myles Garrett and you're saying, hey, Browns fans, here's somebody who's 8 years younger and has the first overall capability of rushing the passer. Here's your new Myles Garrett, and good luck to you, Abdul, with those shoes that you need to fill. But it sounds like a plan. Either one. And I'm wondering what they're thinking. But I think it starts with trading Myles Garrett and just, you know, looking at the clock on the wall here. There's nobody else on your roster that can net as many people as, or as net as much draft compensation as you gave up for a guy who's only given you 19, by the end of this year, 19 starts and 51 missed games.
But do you want to trade Myles in the next couple of weeks so you have a first-round pick in this year's draft? Or do you want to do it for 26, 27 ones and obviously a few extra picks and maybe a player?
I'd want to do it now, I think, because at least you know you're pegging it where you know where you're getting it this year. So you're getting two firsts this year and maybe a first next year. So you're getting an extra first this year. And won the next year. And for him, you can ask for a third. Go for it. Or a top-notch player a second.
Yep.
You
can get four or five picks and a real starter.
Certainly when he's out for bids. Yeah. Certainly when it's a bidding war. It's not like, again, not to catch another stray again. It's not like we're calling one team, don't tell anybody, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, and that's why I'm looking at the draft order right now. And I'm like, look, if you're Cleveland, you don't want to a back end of a first round pick in this year's draft. You want a top 10, top 12 pick. Is it Dallas at 12? Is San Francisco involved? Chicago, New Orleans probably needs a quarterback. The Jets need a quarterback. It's none of those top six teams, unless you're talking about maybe New England or Jacksonville.
What you're talking about, you're talking about an NFC team. That's where it starts. I don't want him anywhere near me.
Yeah.
I don't want him anywhere near me.
No, you'll send him anywhere.
The price will be right to an NFC team. There are, at last I checked, 16 of those. And it's not like this guy's a bad fit anywhere.
Facts.
He's a brilliant fit everywhere, including their own team, which is why I understand they have reservations. But there's a clock on the wall, and there's also the figurative clock on the wall.
Well, then I'm looking at 10, 11, 12. Chicago, San Francisco, Dallas, let's go. Are you serious about being contenders?
Chicago would be a great spot. They would go out of their minds.
Yep.
He's perfect for Chicago.
Perfect.
Again, perfect for every.
Perfect for everywhere, but yes. But if you're looking at an NFC team with a top third pick.
Try it again. Give me another one.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Perfect.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, my God.
No.
That's more than perfect.
Oh, my God.
You just spoke into existence. Ripped the knob off. Howie Roseman's like, what?
Oh, wait a minute.
But if you're Cleveland, you don't want the 32nd pick. You want the 10th pick. You want number 2 and 10.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be one of those type of teams.
Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Phone calls. Albert Breer on why does DK Metcalf want out? What's going on there? The free agent market or the trade market for wide receivers. It looks like your fantasy first round draft choices from back in the day and the present day. Albert Breer, the MMQB, senior NFL reporter of Sports Illustrated, coming up. At the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Now is the best time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. Don't think you can get away with all that? Think again. But don't wait. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on now. So visit your local Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
All right, we're back here on the program. There's breaking news, and Chris, I'd love for you to read the tweet on the screen so you can let everybody know what the news is. There it is. Can you do me a favor from Garofalo? The Bears.
Are you serious? The Bears are retaining linebacker special teamer Amen.
Amen.
All right, 0-for-1.
Ladies and gentlemen, go for it. Ladies and gentlemen, what do your eyes see? What do your eyes see? What do they see?
Bonga Miga?
Now cover your left eye.
I think my eyes are honestly going bad.
Roblox. What do you think? Sound it out. Sound it out. You got this. I think you got this.
I am. I think the G is silent. I'm going to go,
No. None of the G's are silent. I'll give you that hint.
Oh, jeez.
None of the G's are silent.
Bong.
Yeah.
Bamiga.
Yes.
Oh! Amen.
Obonga Bamiga.
Walk off.
That's Amen Obonga Bamiga.
My work here is done.
Sometimes you just got to go slow and just, you know, sound it out.
You can go home now.
Thank you.
Hey, you want to finish the rest of the tweet now?
Sure.
Because you got caught up on hooked on. You got hooked on phonics.
It's tough.
There you go. One more time. Here we go. From the top.
The Bears are retaining linebacker special teamer Amen Ogbong Bemiga.
Yes.
As Dan, I can't even pronounce that guy's name. So says it's a 2-year, $5 million deal. Amen, deal done. Oh, hallelujah for Chicago.
Yeah. And you got through it.
Garofalo, well done there. That was tough.
You got through it.
Jeez.
See, that's why you're not a newsman of any kind.
I mean, I'm an award winner.
You are.
You know.
You are.
2009 well main sports columnist.
Amen.
Thank you.
You got it, Don. I'm so proud of you. Wow. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. My God, what are you going to talk about on March 6th? I remember that was we got that when we started NFL Network. What are you going to talk about when there's no football?
Football
like everything? Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated and Prime Video back here in the Rich Eisen Show. Dude, right? Albert. I mean.
Yeah. By the way, as a Roman Catholic who is in the midst of Lent right now, I can tell you there are multiple pronunciations of Amen.
Okay.
And also I was coming out of a meeting at my kid's school when I saw Garofalo's tweet and I read the hallelujah for Chicago. You know, you don't always control where your eyes go first,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I read the hallelujah for Chicago thing first for some reason and thought like, oh my God, is there something I'm gonna have to react to?
And then not so much. Not so much.
Maybe not so much, yeah.
Good to see you, Albert. Let's just jump right into this, the Deshaun Watson restructuring, we knew it had to come, but how does this play into what is the Browns' plan? Second overall quarterback this year, $46 million remaining on Deshaun Watson's contract is a very doable salary for a starting quarterback in 2026. Should they want to go in that direction? Myles Garrett says, I want out. Abdul Carter's sitting there as a possible replacement if they go ahead and trade him away. What can you tell us about Andrew Berry's plan here for Cleveland?
Well, I think it's important to start back a couple of months ago. And, you know, I did some reporting on this in November and December ahead of one of our games where we had the Browns. And, you know, I know back then, this is before the second Achilles tear, that their plan was to add a lot of competition to the quarterback room, which is different than the way they approached it the last couple of years with Deshaun. What they were putting in the room before was what they felt like was support for Deshaun, not competition for him. And that was one of the reasons why the divorce, you know, from Joe Flacco happened, is because they wanted to set it up to support him. That was going to change from really like almost the beginning of last season. Like, they felt like after the way he played, and then he tears the Achilles, that it was time to get better production out of the position. So that's the baseline. Like, this is not just related to the second Achilles tear. You know, from there, I think their approach has been, we're going to look at the draft. We are going to turn over every rock on every player in the draft because we know we're going to have a high pick, and we're going to attack the veteran market too. And it wouldn't surprise me, Rich, if they pull both levers. Now, what does that look like? I think because of the number that they have on their books from Deshaun Watson and the guarantees and the cash, not just the cap, but the cash, the $92 million they have fully guaranteed over the next 2 years for Deshaun, they have to get a little creative in the veteran market. That's why I think most people have looked at it and said Kirk Cousins would be the perfect guy, because you'd probably be working off the offset. You get him in for the veteran minimum and still draft one. The problem is you don't control Kirk Cousins becoming available. He might become available next week if things get really ugly. He might not be available for 3 months. So you can't really control that if you're the Browns. So now what do? If you don't know whether or not he's going to be available, if he can't force his way out because he doesn't want to be in Atlanta, you know, then it's, well, do we look at Daniel Jones plus a rookie? And that's part of why, by the way, Rich, they're having the 30 visits with the quarterbacks this week. They're trying to get as complete a picture as they possibly can of Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, so they know what they're going to be dealing with in the draft, and they know if there's really what they view as a real answer there. Or, you know, do they have to go heavier on the veteran option, and then, you know, maybe they don't deem one of those guys worth a top two pick, and they say, okay, we'll draft one in the second or third round. Either way, they're going to come out of this, I believe, with a new veteran and a new rookie on the roster. It's just sort of a sliding scale what levels those are at.
Interesting. So you're saying they're kind of going early on their visits with Ward and Shedeur prior to free agency, because that it will inform them how they approach free agency with what aggressiveness and who to target. Interesting. And I'm just wondering, listen, I totally understand that this is Andrew Berry's plan. Makes total sense, complete sense. And but also makes sense that if you're telling this to Myles Garrett, he would say, yeah, I don't want any part of that as I'm pushing 30. Like, and I'm wanting a trophy. Like, that sounds like far away from a trophy, is what, to be honest with you. Or it sounds like, you know, we're still trying to figure this thing out. Hang with us. We need you to win some football games while we get up to that speed, right? I mean, or you believe that Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, second overall, could just continue this remarkable string of rookie quarterbacks drafted in that position. You know, I mean, that's the question about Garrett.
Yeah, that's hard too, because like I think it's, there's part of it that's on the Browns to show Garrett how serious they are about winning right now. Because let's be honest, Rich, like any guy in Myles Garrett's position, he doesn't care about your 3-year plan. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to compete for a championship right now. Like, tomorrow's not promised to him. So he wants to go chase rings right now. And I do think he's being forthright when he says this isn't about the money. This is a guy who thinks a little bit differently. And yeah, I mean, could I see new money being part of whatever the conclusion is here? Absolutely. But I don't think it's the driving force. I think the driving force is he wants to go win somewhere. So that's part of it, right? Like, it's showing Myles Garrett that you're serious about winning in the here and the now. And then I think kind of attached to that for the Browns, this is just me talking, okay? But I think like the Browns, like, I think it's on them to take a serious look on the mirror, in the mirror, and just say to themselves, with guys like Joel Bitonio and Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett, most of all, right? These guys, they're either in the heart of their primes or the back end of their primes. I think a huge part of this is looking at it and saying, can we get good enough fast enough to still have these guys in the primes of their careers while we're competing for championships, right? Like, in other words, can we get this thing where it needs to be at quarterback most of all and all over the place in general in the AFC, in that environment, in the division with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, in the conference with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen? Can that happen fast enough where when it does happen, Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and those guys who've been at the core are still at the top of their games? And I think, to me, like, that's the question you have to ask if you're the Browns that informs you whether or not you seriously consider trading him.
Albert Breer here on
But just to be clear, they haven't shown any.
I heard the same
indication
thing.
Anyone that they're going to do it.
But
so
the two things I heard at the combine, Albert, you know, one that I mentioned in my, you know, my annual rumors segment, is that the Browns truly have no intention of trading Myles Garrett. And the other one I heard is that, you know, they're definitely taking a quarterback second overall. But I don't know about that. You know, as you pointed out, there's a lot of moving parts, and it's interesting that you point out that they have the top prospects and now before the draft, before they're making their decisions. I've got Albert Breer here from Sports Illustrated. Why did DK Metcalf ask for a trade, Albert?
I think there are a couple of things at work. Number one, like, he's going into a contract year, and I think he's seen what's happened to the receiver market. And if you want to, you know, roll the clock back 3 years when he did his extension in the first place, he signed a three-year extension so he could get another bite of the apple. He's, you know, been banged up a little bit. Now that bite of the apple is here. He's still only 27 years old. So, like, there's the chance to go and maximize his value and get somebody to pay him at the top of the market. So that's part of it. And then, you know, like, where are the Seahawks at with all the young guys they have to pay? They've actually got some pretty good young talent there. Charles Cross at left tackle. Jackson Smith and Jigba, I think some would argue, is already their number one receiver.
Well, Kenneth Walker. We saw that with results and numbers last year.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Witherspoon on defense. Like, they've got a lot of guys that are coming up that they're going to have to pay in the future. They've got a new offensive coordinator coming in Clint Kubiak. They're going to recommit to the running game. And so, yeah, I think there are a lot of things here you look at, like, where it's like DK Metcalf is – he wants that bite of the apple, and he's asking kind of, where do I fit into all of this? And so I could certainly see a scenario where the Seahawks look at it and say, we're going to have to pay all of these other guys. DK's a little older than all of them. He's been beat up. If we can get a one for him, we should really entertain that. Now, the question is whether or not they can get a one. And I think with only a year left on his deal and a $30 million ask, let's call it somewhere around there, $30, $35 million ask. Hmm. Is there a team out there that's willing to give up assets on both ends, on the cash cap side and the draft pick side, to go and do that? Would the Chargers do it? Would the Raiders do it? Would the Patriots do it? Like, I think if you're a team with a young quarterback, or, you know, a team that's, you know, in need of a number one receiver, it could be one way to solve it. One thing that does help them as far as, like, potentially trading the pick, right, or trading DK and getting maximum value for him, there's not a lot out there on the free agent market. They're all older guys, right? Like, T. Higgins is tagged. And then after that, you got, like, Chris Godwin, Amari Cooper, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams. Those guys are all really good players. They're at the end of their careers, right? Or getting closer to the end of their careers. And then for the first time in, like, what, like a decade? I mean, when was the last time? Rich, you do this every year. When was the last time we had a bad draft class at receiver?
No, I hear you. And that's why, you know, as we look at those guys up there, I'm wondering if we've finally reached the salary threshold for front offices to start treating wide receivers like the running back spot. You know what I mean? Like, that. Why am I paying somebody top $28 million? You're already hearing that. Is Ayuk on the market too? Like, what's going on with him in San Francisco?
They're listening. Million? I think they're sort of listening to everything on everyone. This has been coming. You know, if you looked at their books, and I know they restructured some guys, but in the middle of last year, if you looked at their books, they had almost $300 million committed in cap to this year. So, you know, like, they were kind of at the point where it's like, this is where the Rams were a couple of years ago, where it was either like, if we don't start to clean this up now, especially with a quarterback contract coming down the pike, then we could be looking at not a 1 year, but maybe a 2 year like cap clean out, right? Mm-hmm. And the Rams decided, if you remember, it was like sort of connected to the Jalen Ramsey trade where they decided, you know what, we're going to take on whatever it was, $75 million in dead cap right now. We're going to hit the hard reset. We're going to get younger. I don't know the Niners will go through that hard a reset, but I do know part of their thought process right now is this is probably the time when we need to reset. So if somebody comes along and offers something great for Ayuk and he's got the ACL right now, would they listen? Sure. You know, I think they're sort of open for business on any ideas. Doesn't mean like, you know, their best players are all on the block, but I think they are listening.
Huh. And then the Purdy negotiations, has it started with a 45? That's what our friend Lock and Foro tweeted out the other day.
Yeah, Albert. I think the Niners would like to keep it in the fours, and Purdy's camp would like to have it in the fives. You know, like I thought initially there's like a good chance. Like, do they try to do what they did with Jimmy and just speed up the whole thing and get it done in January the way they did with Garoppolo all those years ago? And they've been through this before, of course. You know, I think that they weren't able to kind of get some traction early shows there is a little bit of a divide between the sides right now. And, it's going to take some time to get through this. What you hope is with your quarterback that they aren't going through what they went through the last three off seasons in a row right now, right? Like where it was Debo in 22, it was Nick Bosa in 23, and it was Brandon Ayuk last year where those things lasted all the way like deep into training camp. They'd like to avoid that. You know, I look, there's a disagreement in where they stand, but I think the Niners would tell you both publicly, privately that Brock Purdy is their guy. I don't think they want to go into a contract year with him. You know, but I don't think anything is off the table right now. You know, they've obviously got the franchise tag if they have to use it in 2026.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, treat him like Kirk Cousins. That's what we were talking about the other day. Is that,
yeah,
you know, honestly, that the irony that everybody thinks that Kyle Shanahan's been trying to get Kirk Cousins for years or has always got a side eye for Kirk Cousins, keep an eye on him, and they might have a guy that they financially treat like him, which, by the way, is not a bad way to be treated financially in this day and age, in this world. So in the few minutes I have left with you, Albert, walk me through it. Sam Darnold has two ways to go about it, because there's like the next 2 weeks are going to be a fascinating 2 weeks for him. It's a roller coaster ride. The first order of business is Minnesota didn't franchise him, but I'm sure that they're not cutting off all communication with him. And then let's just say that Darnold does reach free agency. What's the market and the teams that would be interested in him, Albert?
They would, the Vikings would love to have him back. Here's the reality. They really, really like JJ McCarthy. And I think if you had asked them before he got hurt in the second week of August, how they felt about him, like they would say, we're actually having a conversation now. About like the potential that he could start at some point this year. Like that's how much he impressed them. That wasn't part of the plan initially, but he impressed them to the point where, you know, that was a discussion point. Then he gets hurt. Then he has a second surgery, which is more of a cleanup. I think you and I have talked about that, and he lost a bunch of weight. I think the kid's trying, like, I think he is, you know, like, but here's the thing is, you know, and I like JJ a lot as a player. I think the thing with the Vikings situation is this isn't a rebuilding team. And they won 14 games last year. And so if you're the Vikings, can you roll the dice on a kid who, like, again, needs to get back to his fighting weight and like lost 4 months of on-field development? Can you look Justin Jefferson in the eye, Christian Darrisaw, Andrew Van Ginkle, Jonathan Grenard, all the guys they have that are veteran players in their roster, and say, yes, we're going for it right now. We won 14 games last year. We're going after a Super Bowl. I don't know. Like, I feel like they have to have some sort of insurance on that. And so going with Sam Darnold for another year would be one way to attack it. Bringing Daniel Jones back would be another way to attack it. You know, I think they've given themselves some options. I just don't know which path this is going to take them down. And I think a huge part of it right now is dependent on where the market is for Sam Darnold. Because if you're the Vikings, you could put something good in front of him, But if, say, the Raiders come along and say, we're going to put a deal in front of you that says basically you're starting for the next 2 years. And with the Vikings, it's like, yeah, well, you'll probably be our starter this year, but you know, we got the first round pick there. Like, I think that that's where this rubber meets the road a little bit, right? Like, so I think how the market bears out for Sam Darnold, whether it's the Raiders, whether it's the Giants, you know, whoever it is, like teams that throw their hat in the ring, like, I think that's going to determine whether or not the Vikings wind up with Darnold back. Because the one thing that would be hard for them to compete with now, unless they trade JJ McCarthy, which I don't think they're of a mind to do right now, is the one thing that would be tough for them to compete with is some team coming in and making the commitment to Sam Darnold. You're going to be our quarterback in 25. You're going to be our quarterback in 26. And here's the contract that reflects that.
What about the Steelers? Could they be in that market? Or they're going to Justin Fields here? What are they?
Yeah, I think I could say, like, they love what they've gotten from Justin Fields. You've talked to him. Like, he is, like, I mean, he was a Steeler before he was a Steeler, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, just his kind of approach and his demeanor and all of that. It's a really good fit for the program, and they want to keep working with him. You know, I don't know that he did enough to say, yes, we're going to bring you in and anoint you our starter, and we're not going to add competition to the room. So, like, I think this is sort of that sort of puzzle for them. Like, say the Jets come along and offer Justin Fields something to start. Would the Steelers be willing to come in and say, yes, you're our starting quarterback for 2025? Maybe they love him, but you know, I don't know if they'd be willing to do that without having competition in the room. Then is Kirk Cousins available? That's another question, because that would be a way to kind of get around the whole like idea of paying a guy top dollar or going above and beyond to keep Justin Fields. So I think if you give the Steelers people truth serum, they'd probably tell you in 2 weeks, we probably see Justin Fields being kind of the lead dog. What was it that Mike Tomlin, the term he used, pole position, right?
Yeah, like, that's what happened last year. He lost pole position, and that's part of the reason why he's been amazing, man. He didn't complain out the door in Chicago. He didn't complain once in Pittsburgh. He's just kept his mouth shut and his head down. And I
will tell you this too, Rich, like, what Arthur Smith did with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee, he believes he can do that with Justin Fields in Pittsburgh.
How
and maybe
about that?
Maybe more than that. Now, I'm not telling you that this is going to become Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, but like, Ryan Tannehill got the Titans to an AFC title game, and that's a pretty good roster there in Pittsburgh. So if you feel like you can do that, if you have a full offseason to build an offense for Justin Fields, it's not a horrible option.
And then just in the 2 minutes I have left here, is Justin Fields the target of the Jets? Like, what's their plan at quarterback?
I think the Jets
de-Rodgers the roster, Albert.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, it's funny because, like, I think, like, maybe, like, the blueprint would be, like, can we find, like, a, you know, like, our version of Sam Darnold that's going to, like, trigger some PTSD for people like yourself?
Right.
But, like, what Sam Darnold was last year for the Vikings, what Baker Mayfield was 2 years ago for Tampa, what Jared Goff was when Aaron Glenn was there in Detroit, right? Like, where Aaron Glenn was a little bit of a distressed asset. Like, can we find somebody who's talented who can come in and be that guy for us? Justin Fields would be a name. Daniel Jones would be a name. I think Daniel Jones is going to have some interest from, you know, the Vikings coming back, the Jets, maybe the Colts. But I look at the Jets maybe looking at an opportunity like that that would mirror what Aaron Glenn's experience was in Detroit. Because, again, you look at – and if you really want to dig into Aaron Glenn's past, like, the Saints, they built around a distressed asset and Drew Brees, what he was in 06, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lions built around a distressed asset in Jared Goff when he came in there. So – I think the idea of like a Justin Fields or a Daniel Jones or someone along those lines could make some sense for the Jets. And, I don't think bringing Tyrod Taylor back as an insurance policy would be a horrible idea either.
Albert, you're the man. Thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. I mean, we just scratched the surface. It's kind of crazy what's going on. I love it. Thank goodness, right? Yep. Thank goodness for
absolutely, absolutely. Hey, I always tell people, Rich, you know, like, it's 2 weeks between the we all complain about that, right? The Super Bowl and the Combine, but I've made my peace with it because it's a lot better to have people care a lot about this stuff than not at all. And people care a lot about this stuff for sure.
They sure do. And like I said, we just barely scratched the surface. Let's chat next week. I appreciate
you
the time.
It.
That's Albert Breer. Everybody follow him. Everybody listen to his pod, the MMQB NFL podcast. Read his material. He's the best. of the best. That was great stuff right there. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, our mission is to help members of the military, veterans, and their families achieve their financial goals. That's why we offer great savings and investing options like our certificates. Certificates come with sky-high rates, and some even have the flexibility to add money anytime during your term. Whether you're saving for a home, a new car, or your future, our options could help you get there. And certificates are just the beginning. Navy Federal also provides financial advisors to help you manage your investment portfolio, along with online tools to guide your savings plan. With our support, you'll have everything you need to take charge of your finances. So don't wait. The sooner you start building your financial future with Navy Federal's savings and investing options, the better off you could be in the long run. Sign up at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
Good to see you, Shaquille O'Neal. How are you, sir?
Before we get started.
Yes.
If I take this home, will I get arrested?
The Vince Lombardi trophy?
Is this the real one? Or
that's the real one. That's a real Vince Lombardi trophy. I don't know if that's the one that's going to be given to the Rams or the Patriots this weekend, but that is a real... You want to lift it?
Well, if I lift it, I want to take it home.
No, if you... Well... Then I think we're at a crossroads here.
Actually, we're not at a crossroads. Let me tell you why.
Okay, sure.
I'm not a lawyer, but I watch a lot of law shows.
Okay.
I got about 50 witnesses that seen me hit my head on your set.
Oh.
So if you just give me this, I'll let bygones be bygones.
So it's a liability issue for me
yeah.
That turns into an even worse liability issue.
I don't want to have to call it the Shaq Eisen Show.
I know that.
All you got to do is just give me this, and I'll put it next to mine. This is beautiful.
I'm doing the math in my head as to how much you'd be suing me for personal liability as to how much this trophy costs, which I've been told is around $22,000.
Well, I'll be suing you for
$23,000. You want to lift it?
No, I don't want to touch it.
Okay, you sure you don't want to touch that?
Bad luck.
Bad luck for you or for...
No, to touch the trophy when you are in it.
I like that.
Yeah, my father used to always...
Are you serious?
Yeah, he always used to... Because, like when you're a kid, you get the trophy from a local trophy shop.
Sure.
He'd be like, if you listen to me, guys, you get this. You want to touch it? Don't touch it. It's bad luck. You got to earn it.
Right.
That's why, you know how like in the NBA when you win the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference, they give you those little trophies? Yeah. I never touched it.
Never.
I never touched it and I never celebrated it.
I remember Phil did that too, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you, like when you guys won the Western Conference Finals of one of the many times you did?
Yeah, I never touched it. I never looked at it, never celebrated it. This is beautiful though.
It's a beautiful trophy. Yeah. Do you get a replica? Because, NFL players can get, like, a mini replica of this.
I got four replicas.
Of the Larry O'Brien trophy?
And I gave them to my father. Because growing up, he used to always take my trophies mm-hmm. and let me celebrate it one or two days, and then he'd put them away. So finally, I got enough courage to ask him why he did that. And he said he never wanted me to be satisfied. So after he passed away, I went and retrieved all my trophies from Little League, high school, college, put it in a room in my house and I dedicated it to him. So now, like, if you go, you get to see, like, all my trophies. But I would win it. I'd celebrate it one or two days, and me and him would have dinner, and he would say, thank you very much. And he'd put it there. And I'd come back, like, the next week, hey, Dad, let's go to dinner. Like, where's the trophy? I don't know. Go get another one. That was his thing.
And then you did.
Yeah.
And then you would. Yeah. Then you would.
Happy 53rd birthday to the big fella, Shaquille O'Neal.
Wow. Shaq, these
are... Some of my favorite videos is Shaq giggling like a school grade child at Charles Barkley's That's What She Said type comments. You ever seen that video? That's right up your alley.
The complete opposite of you and me when I say it. You don't laugh and giggle.
Right, because
you beat it out of me and I don't do those
anymore. Well, it's one thing if it's our show and it's one thing if it's another show. But Shaq's responses to Charles are just...
Yeah, those guys are, man, just so much fun. And if you don't know any better, you'd think they're really going to fight at some point.
No, oh, no, it's felt like many times that they were going to throw right? down.
And by the way, all of them talking about Starbucks last week at the combine, when we were all at the combine.
Great.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I'm glad that they're going to stay intact for next season on ESPN. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Phone calls, please stay on hold. We got Jimmy Horn Jr. top of the next hour. We got tons of your time and for you guys and gals, and we'll empty the phone banks. Albert Breer just said something.
Breer.
So you had mentioned Justin Fields, that the Steelers are targeting him as their next starting quarterback, but they don't know. And, you know, if another team jumps in, and he mentioned the Jets for Justin Fields. Then I followed up, and he mentioned some other choices for the Jets, and he mentioned one that would just be mind-blowing. And his name is Daniel Jones. If Daniel Jones shows up to be the next starting quarterback of the New York Jets,
it would be the most Jets thing.
Or hold on a minute.
Line of Jetsian things.
Again, you'd have to trust that Aaron Glenn knows what he is doing and that this front office knows what they are doing. And it also offers a great opportunity for them to, you know, show up the other team in town.
That's true.
And here's my advice to Daniel Jones. If this happens, Daniel, you show up to the press conference and you talk about how it's suddenly a Jets town. Do that. Show up and say, I came back to New York because it's now a Jets town.
That would be amazing. Pull
a full-on soda.
That would be amazing.
Do it.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
No. Do it, and do it with a straight face, and do it. Give it a try.
Well, we've never seen him
And then every single person that signs after him, their first press conference, talk about we have the real fans.
Culture.
Go the next one, pull AJ Minter, you know, with a nice Southern accent, talking about the New York sports market, y'all.
This would
give
work.
Give it a try.
This would work.
Give it a try.
This would work for Daniel Jones.
If he strolled in
as a four-time All-Star, a home run derby champ,
a World Series champ, a batting champ.
Use this man as your guiding light.
Jet Life Stadium.
You're switching from one New York team to the next, and then declaring New York the town of your team when every other normal human being in the city knows completely different. Give it a try. Daniel Jones will be the Juan Soto of football if he goes to the Jets. It would be amazing.
Like I said, his resume doesn't even compare to the great Juan Soto.
Excuse me. He's been in the New York market longer.
That's fine.
That's for sure.
That's true.
He knows the media a lot better. And then this too.
And another thing.
And another thing.
The pain.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Could you imagine? This is the way my brain works.
Imagine if you like this, huh?
My cheeks are. This is so funny.
Daniel Jones shows up and says, "Oh, it's a Jets town now." Yeah. So no. Outside of that, what coup de grace could be delivered harder after Saquon leaves and wins a championship for Philadelphia than if Daniel Jones leads the Jets in a manner that nobody expects? And the Jets, with a terrific, young, talented roster, start winning. And Aaron Glenn is the guy, and he's got a new way of doing things. And Daniel Jones, who, as we all know, has a very special skill set that just has not been unlocked.
It was unlocked for like a couple of weeks.
You could say he's locked it himself, like he's left the keys in his own car. I get it.
He's gotten hurt.
But what if Daniel Jones becomes a Jet? And they start winning in a manner Aaron Rodgers did not. And he's the man. He's the, as Albert Breer pointed out, Aaron Glenn was in New Orleans, Aaron Glenn was in Detroit, and they built around, as he called Drew Brees and Jared Goff, distressed assets. What's more of a distressed asset?
Daniel Jones.
Oh, and then the Giants respond by signing Sam Darnold and winning with him. Can you imagine if this happens in the New York market?
I think we need this to happen now.
Honestly, this is like those 80s body switch movies. It's like big. We should go to Zoltan down in the Jersey Shore and ask if this is possible.
Coney Island,
right?
I believe.
Was it? I thought it was the Jersey Shore.
No. It was Coney Island, I believe. I believe that's where Zoltan was.
I don't know.
Well, Daniel Jones is known for wearing oversized suits.
Okay. That was his coach. The previous coach. That was McAdoo. McAdoo showed up like he was a lead singer for the Talking Heads. That's a nice 80s pop culture reference for you.
I got it, Rich.
For those who watched MTV when video killed the radio star.
I think we need this to happen.
Right? Like a body switching movie.
Like Father, Like Son. Remember that with Kirk Cameron and Dudley Moore?
Remember 18 again?
18 again.
Oh, there's a million
kid
of them.
Whose name, whose name escapes me, became George Burns.
There was the Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, all of them. All of them.
Freaky Friday.
That's right.
Freaky football.
Freaky.
Yeah. Sam Darnold's the Giants starter, and Daniel Jones shows up and declares it a Jets town. Like Soto. Boom.
Without all
there's
the talent.
A season right there.